The official policy had been extended through to March of 2026. So were we expecting a 30% duty effective November 1st? No. That being said, there have been rumors since, I would say, early September that there might be a tariff applied to peas. And so we've been tracking it for quite some time and staying in close contact with our contacts on the ground in India, trying to get a handle on exactly what was behind these rumors and whether or not they would result in a government decision. And at times, these rumors are just that. And you just have to dismiss them as the things that you will hear about in India in particular. And there's not a lot of weight to put behind them. But, you know, this time that they did start to get stronger as we closed in on the end of September. I actually traveled to India. I had the opportunity to sit down with the very newly appointed High Commissioner Chris Cooter and Minister Commercial Ed Jagar. And we had an opportunity to brief them up on the importance of this market to Canada and the importance of the relationship between the pulse industry and the pulse community in India. And through that, we had lots of opportunities to do an appropriate briefing of Global Affairs Canada. And so I think government to government, there were some good conversations throughout the course of October about the importance of this relationship between our industries. At the end of the day, I think it's important for everybody to understand this isn't about international politics, and this isn't a tariff that applies to Canadian peas. This is a tariff that applies to all origins, and the Indian government tends to intervene on behalf of its farmers. It's not intervening in order to punish an external or export interested party. So I think there's no consolation here. There's no silver lining to highlight, you know, as it relates to this particular, you know, announcement. But these are the things that we've come to expect. The Indian government will intervene from time to time on behalf of the domestic industry. And, you know, our job is to make sure that we stress to them the importance of open lines of communication, that we stress the importance of ensuring that product that's on route, that's on the water, et cetera, is protected in advance of these notifications. And that over the long term, that we start to see longer periods of certainty. So those year-long extensions of access at, you know, whatever the tariff might be. And we have been seeing it trend in that direction. So there's some positives to point out in a particularly negative announcement.
Is there an end date on this or a comment on how long that this could be in effect for?
No. It's now the policy that it's a 30% duty, so we can expect that to change when the market dynamic changes. And the things that we look for are domestic prices to farmers. We look at things like food prices and food price inflation in India. At the time when you start to see things normalize there, you might see tariffs come down. If they move in the opposite direction and international supplies of pulses start to depress prices further, it's not unreasonable to think that you might see additional tariffs on other types of pulses as well. So those are the types of things we just have to be conscious of and watch and hope that we can continue to do business. We have, in talking to our Indian counterparts and in talking to government officials, appear to have moved away from a time when they'll do outright bans. I think we're talking more about moving into an environment where we'll see tariffs, but we won't see bans and all forms of restrictions, which is, again, it's a positive because that means that we can continue to do business. You know, in the case of a 30% tariff, it's a big question mark, though. I'm not sure exactly how much business can be done at that level.
That was going to be my next question. A 30% tariff, that is still pretty steep. 10%, that I believe that's what you said before, that was kind of workable. 30% just maybe pushing the edge a little bit too much?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to see domestic prices in India surge considerably to make that type of tariff workable. You know, and at the same time, you're also kind of looking at that in isolation of other factors. So we know that Australia is going to harvest desis and red lentils, and that product will hit the Indian market in November, December. So the big question for us is, well, what effect will that have? And is that going to make matters worse? So things to keep an eye on, but, you know, for the time being, 30% is not good. It just kind of draws the attention back to the 100% duty that we face in China and the fact that there are a lot of important things happening in the context of that negotiation. And we need to see it produce a result here that amounts to a reduction in that 100% duty on yellow peas. We need to see that sooner rather than later.
The Prime Minister is meeting with the Chinese President at the APEC summit early Friday morning their time. I understand you're on your way to China as well. What are you going to be doing there?
We'll arrive on Sunday the 2nd and attending the Canada-China Business Forum on the Monday the 3rd. We have meetings with our customers, Canadian customers of peas throughout the course of the day. We've maintained close and regular contact with that buying community. And important to note, these are buyers who have been buying from Canada for, in some cases, 30 years. So there's a long-standing friendship and relationship with these companies. They want Canadian peas. It's in their best interest to have this thing resolved. Canadian peas perform better than peas from any other origin, and their buyers, the people that buy their product, prefer product produced by Canadian peas. So we maintain that relationship. We'll continue to meet with those companies. We've invited a few of them to attend the Canada-China Business Council dinner, you know, with us and to sit at the table with us to demonstrate that kind of united approach to both of our governments to show them that this is a win-win, this relationship. We'll also attend a major expo in Shanghai. So there'll be a number of different kind of Canadian pavilions at this expo. This is an expo that's regarded as President Xi's flagship event. Interestingly, at some of these big events in some of these big markets, presidents and prime ministers take note of the countries that attend, and this is one of those events. So that's why it's important for Canadians to be there. It's why, you know, you'll find many different commodity groups attending this event, hosting meetings in the Canadian Pavilion in Shanghai. And we'll also have additional meetings in Shanghai with, you know, other business councils, as well as potential end users of product produced in China. So big international companies that have their R&D centers in Shanghai are companies that we'll want to meet with to promote the concept of utilizing, you know, the pea protein that's produced in the northeast of China. So it's a mix of demonstrating how committed we are to this market, how important it is that our governments find a solution to this current dispute, and also continuing to do the work of nurturing relationships with our buyers and new potential customers for their product.
In Canada, businesses and farm groups can lobby the government. They can talk to the government and say, you know, hey, we'd like you to do this. They may not listen, but at least you still have that right. Does that happen in China? Can companies make presentations to the government to say, hey, you know, we would really like to have peas back here?
It certainly is not what it looks like here. We can have some very blunt and honest conversations with our politicians and with the negotiating teams that ultimately sit at the table. I think it's fair to say that's not the way it works in China. But I think there are ways for industry players to, you know, suggest that these are important relationships. And, you know, in the case of the Canadian pulse industry and our Chinese buyers, I mean, one of the things that has been raised in some of the meetings we've been in the past is that some of that community in China that processes peas into noodles and into pea protein isolate was built around the Canadian pea. Like, it was the Canadian pea that they started using as an alternative to mung beans. So those plants that they built were built around not just the yellow pea, but the yellow pea from Canada. And that's kind of an important thing to note. I know I've already mentioned that, you know, their customers prefer pea protein isolate produced from Canadian peas. Well, but it's significant, right? I mean, and it's part of Canada's advantage. When you become the preferred ingredient, especially in the food business, it's difficult for food companies to change formulations to accommodate even subtle changes in the raw ingredients. So, you know, I think these are things that you can talk about openly. That's not a challenge to anyone in government, and that's not a statement with respect to what should or should not happen. It's a statement of fact, right? And I think it helps because, you know, that's part of what we need to do over the long term is demonstrate, well, like I said before, win-wins. And in our view, this is objectively a win-win relationship. It's been invested into for many, many years. It's working, and we need to get to a place where we can pick up business as usual again.
Bottom line, what's the message to Canadian pea producers who now face tariffs on their two largest markets?
No way to sugarcoat it, Neil. 80% of our export program goes to India and China. It's not good. The message to them is that your industry association has been on this every step of the way. We've been aggressively pushing not only our government, but to the extent that's possible, foreign governments, as well as our customers in foreign markets, to keep the pressure on so that we can resolve these things, so that we can get to a place where we can continue to do business even when there are tariffs. So I think there's reason to be hopeful and optimistic about resolving this issue in China. You've got Prime Minister Carney meeting with President Xi tomorrow. You've got the Ag Minister on the ground in China as we speak. We've had a number of important meetings happen between March and today. Things are moving. They have to go through this process, but we're hopeful that we're going to see something happen here in the not-too-distant future. We also have not been sitting around waiting for access to these two traditional markets. We have been investing for many years in creating diversified opportunities for our products. It's working. It's not going to replace, fair to say, it's not going to replace the size of the Chinese market and the size of the Indian market overnight. But there is growing demand domestically in Canada. There's growing value-added processing capacity here in Canada. There is new market opportunities, for example, into pet food, not just here in North America, but globally. And we've hired a pet food animal nutritionist that's helping us accelerate the push to move peas into pet food into Asia-Pacific, Indo-Pacific, and Mexico. We are also doing that work, have done that work for a number of years to get feed manufacturers within the Indo-Pacific and now increasingly into Mexico accustomed to and comfortable using peas. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that there are outlets as we, you know, look at the excess supply that we have right now and build markets for the future, which take a little longer. The food market for sure is not something that you can immediately resolve or access, you know, in the short term. It takes some long-term development work, but the feed and the pet food markets are nearer-term opportunities that we're very aggressively pursuing.
And just to circle back real quick to India, there's a lentil tariff right now?
Yeah, there's a total of, I believe it's 11%, 10 to 11% duties when you add them all up that apply to lentils, which has allowed us to continue to do business. You know, the only thing that we need to be mindful of is the Australian harvest and Australian product starting to hit India as well in November, December. Both desi chickpeas and red lentils are going to arrive, and let's see what kind of effect, you know, that has on the Indian market as well.